Romans, okay? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and you find the book of Romans. We're going to go in what some people say is the most treasured part of all of the Bible, Romans chapter 8. Some people would feel that way, and some of the greatest messages ever preached came from this chapter. I'm going to spoil that today. I'm just seeing if two of you are awake yet. I hope not to spoil that for you today. Actually, what we're preaching about the Holy Spirit is often not preached from this chapter, although it should be more so in my opinion, simply because it's such a deep treasure, wonderful truth. Romans 8, we're going to look at verses 26 through 28. So if you'll stand, please, out of respect of God's word, and we also invite you to read aloud with us or follow along silently in your copy of God's word. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse number 26. Ready? Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So we know that before you and I were created, and even before Adam and Eve was created, God was fulfilling his perfect will in the universes. We don't know how many yous there are. God was already at work, and he and Jesus and the Holy Spirit created this world according to the will of God. And as Adam was formed from the earth and God breathed into him the breath of life, it was God's plan from that day on for us all to have the breath of God within us. The breath of God is the Holy Spirit. And those who have not yet been born again are not born again of the Spirit. Oh, but they could be this very day. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time when anybody who realizes they're lost and on their way to hell puts faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who paid on the cross all of our sins, past, present, and future. And the day, even like that thief on the cross, who said, Lord, I'm guilty of the sins that I've committed. I recognize it. I admit it. I understand the penalty for sin is death and hell. But if you would remember me and have mercy upon me, Lord, that would be all I would ask. And Jesus imparted unto him salvation that very day. So what happened to that thief of the cross? Jesus, who was right there next to him, him giving him and offering him that salvation, God sent the Holy Spirit into the very soul of that man on the cross. And when he died, though his body was in the grave, his spirit was with Jesus in paradise. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful? So even the very last moment a person lives on this earth, if they will come to the understanding of their sinful condition and understanding who paid the price for all of their sins, they could leave this world with Jesus Christ, with the Spirit within them. Now, most of them do not, because they die as they lived. Without God. Doesn't have to be that way. And why is that? The Bible says he has given us his Holy Spirit, and he is our intercessor. So within us, he connects us to God. And I want to teach you about that. I want you to know it. I want you to really enjoy what the Holy Spirit has done with you, in you, and through you. And we'll pray for God's filling of the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for all that you've done already in this beautiful service. Thank you, Lord, for all those who would give of themselves to sing and practice and praise and worship, for all who would come so that we could be part of the family of God and do this worship and this praise. Now, Father, all of us are hungry spiritually. We are. And that's why you've given us the Word of God. How shall we hear without a preacher? So, Father, I ask that right now, you fill us with your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit of God, I implore you to breathe upon us. I ask you to do your wonderful work of illuminating. I pray that I will be faithful in the obedience of the command to be filled with the Spirit so that as I speak, it is not James Caskey speaking. Lord, may the Spirit speak into our ears the things that we need to hear today. Lord, help us to understand that we have a guide, an intercessor on our behalf for the glory of God and according to your will. And I pray that we understand that today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Just a few weeks ago, when we started this journey on the teaching of the Holy Spirit, I shared with you, first of all, how the Holy Spirit is a person. He's a real, live person. Just like Jesus is, the Holy Spirit is. Just like God the Father is, the Holy Spirit is. Three in one. He's real. He's alive. He is with us. He is saddened and affected by our spirit. He is grieved as we sin against God. He is real and he can be touched with our infirmities. We then spent time examining our salvation and found out that as we're born again, born of the Spirit, we are baptized into the body of Christ. One faith, one Lord, one. Sometimes I feel like a total failure. The Bible says that we have one faith and one Lord and one baptism. One faith, one Lord, one baptism. Although, if you're listening to what folks are saying today, if you're paying any attention to even maybe some of the books that are being written, you can go back and you could go to a special service and somebody can help you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You're supposed to seek it, they say. You're supposed to cry out for it. You're supposed to go to where it's going on and get it. And then when you get it, you're supposed to get it again and again and again. That is not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You only have to be placed in the body of Christ one time. And your soul is secure for all eternity. Amen. Although we, as a vessel, a temple, the Bible has given us Ephesians 5. This is what we preached on last week. We're commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, when does that happen? When I get saved, the Holy Spirit moves in. He brings all of himself with him, all of the fruits of the Spirit, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, goodness, meekness, all those things. It's all there. But what do we as we live our Christian lives? We let go of the things of God. We spend time for the things we want to spend time with. Even some of the things that when we first got saved and we gave God all of our time and even our money and even our relationships, we start taking back and taking back and taking back and taking. Before you know it, I'm more full of myself than I am of the Spirit. So the Bible says, be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. That doesn't happen until I started giving up those things back to God, giving him back my time, giving God back my resources, giving him back my devotion, giving him back those things that I was taking for myself. Listen, you cannot walk in the flesh and in the Spirit at the same time because you will fulfill the deeds of the flesh. But if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the deeds of the flesh because you're more full of him than you are of yourself. You cannot have any more of the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. You cannot have any more of the Holy Spirit today than what you did the day you got saved. What, did God just only give you a little portion of your salvation? Is he giving it out piecemeal? Huh? You have to live holy in order to get it? Are you kidding me? There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and you will as long as you have this body of flesh on you. But we're supposed to put off that body of flesh and put on Christ. So we have been given all, the full measure of the Holy Spirit in us so that we have Christ in us. But wait a minute, does he have all of you? And that's why we need to be filled. And that's why it's a commandment and a perpetual command to be ye filled, to be filled, to be filled. It's just like praying. Are we supposed to just pray one time or pray without ceasing? We're supposed to pray and then pray and then pray and ask and then ask and then ask and then you shall receive. So we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't have all of us. So So we learned that. I hope you did. And I hope that God will fill you with the Spirit as you pray and seek and surrender and consecrate yourself to Him. Now this week, our quest continues, and my prayer is that God will illuminate us by His Spirit. In other words, He'll guide us into the next thing that we need to understand. He is our guide. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is unique and powerful. Every believer has this resource, but not every believer utilizes it. Every Christian has a Bible, but does every Christian read it? Every Christian has God living within him, but does every Christian live for God? No. So it doesn't mean just because you're a Christian, you do all those things that we're supposed to do. We're supposed to grow in grace and knowledge and keep growing in grace and knowledge and not stop growing in grace and knowledge. So we have a lot that we ought to be doing. Every Christian has been endued with power from on high, but not every Christian is plugged in to that receptacle. Every Christian has been given the Holy Spirit, but not every spirit. Every Christian has embraced the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our source, our ever-present help. He's in our lives. He is our intercessor, our helper, our guide. Without Him, you will not navigate the spiritual world like you could. How much do you know about heaven? Well, I know there's golden streets there, and I know there's a tree of life, and there's supposed to be mansions for us. You didn't even talk about the person who's there. Person whose reason you get there. Jesus Christ. He's going to be the, you know, people talk about heaven. They write songs about heaven. Just give me a mansion on the hillside, and, you know, the heaven's where my friends are and all those kind of things. The truth of the matter is many of them will never get there because they're not even concerned about Jesus, who's the one that got them there. So I have some good news for you today. God knows how weak, ignorant, fledgling that we are. So He has given us His Spirit to intercede on our behalf. God loves us so much, He's not left us comfortless. We have the Holy Spirit of God. We do not have to grope in darkness. The word intercession is such a beautiful word. It actually is the Greek word superior. So with inside of you, you have something and somebody who's superior than who and what you are, who is connecting you to God because He is God. You ever pray and feel like God was a million miles away? Once you understand that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, you'll never, ever come to that conclusion. You ever pray and feel like that you don't deserve to get God's attention because you're just in the flesh and you just have fleshly desires and you're materialistic and you just mess up and God knows you're just going to mess up again? You ever have that mindset? What if I told you that there is inside of you somebody who could help tweak those prayers, redirect those prayers, inspire you in such a way that your prayers are put into a language that God can hear and see and know, and the weak prayer that you just prayed becomes a perfect prayer in the eyes of God. All right? Mothers will understand this probably, and maybe fathers will too. All of us who have had children, when those babies, before they started to talk, were still trying to communicate with us, but they did it weird ways, didn't they? They communicated really strangely. And when you're out in public and the child says something or does something and they don't use the words, somebody else may misinterpret them and say, oh, look at that. They want a piece of candy. And the mom's saying, no, they don't. They got to go potty. Isn't it true that we misunderstand communication at times? Can I tell you the Holy Spirit, who speaks God's language because He is God, who lives within us and knows us better than we know ourselves, can interpret any of the groanings that we groan, and our prayer can go to God in the way that it should go. Isn't that amazing? That's the intercessor that we have in the Holy Spirit. When I was at Israel for the first time, I didn't know where I was going, never been there before. I knew what I wanted to do there. Boy, I wanted to see all these great sites, right? That's when you have it in your mind, and if you're on your bucket list, I know I want to go here, and I know I want to go there, and man, I just want to do it all. You can go without a guide, or you can spend a little bit more money, possibly, and get a guide to take you to all those places. We hired a guide. I knew where I wanted to go, but I didn't know how to get from point A to point B. So I purchased a 7-day and 7-night guided tour. When we got off the plane, we were met at the airport by a man holding a sign which stated the guide service that we had booked. The man showed us where to pick up our luggage, how to exit the airport, which bus to get on, gave us preliminary instructions of what to do and what not to do, where we were going and where we probably would not go while in Israel. We could not speak the language. He interpreted it for us. From the moment we met him, he was with us as our guide on our journey. He took us to our hotel. He stayed downstairs and said, now if you go up and put your luggage there and get changed, we're going to go and we're going to start right on our tour and do this. He waited right there for us. He was there for the entire 7-day period. This is exactly who the Holy Spirit is. The day you got saved, he came inside of you. And he's been trying to lead you and guide you and teach you and love you and comfort you and help you. And so often we try to traverse the spiritual Christian world on our own. No wonder so many people grow up in darkness. So you've got to ask yourself, how is the Holy Spirit helping me? When it comes to navigating the terrain of the spiritual realm, we need a spiritual guide. Somebody who knows the language. Somebody who lives there and understands the different aspects of the terrain. Someone who can intercede for us. And that person, ladies and gentlemen, is the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, Christians live as new creatures in Christ Jesus. How well do you do with that? You're doing wonderful with that? You're going everywhere you want to go in your Christian life? You're getting everything from God that you're praying for? You ever feel insufficient? Do you ever feel like God doesn't want you? The devil's a good liar about that. Do you ever feel like you can't do all the things that the Bible tells you you should be able to do? Maybe it's because you're in unfamiliar territory and you need somebody to hold your hand and take you to the next place of importance. That's the Holy Spirit. Paul calls this realm in Ephesians 1, verse 3, and verse chapter 2, verse 6, he calls it the heavenly places. The Holy Spirit is trying to take you to places you've never been before as a Christian. You know how it is to walk according to the flesh. You know how it is to lose your temper and to act out that way. You know what it's like to sleep in and be lazy and not go where you wanted to go and miss the appointment. You know what it's like to live in the flesh, but do you know what it's like to walk in the Spirit? The Spirit intercedes on our behalf in the very presence of God the Father. In Romans chapter 8, in our text, we have this understanding. The Bible said the Spirit helps our infirmities, the things that we are weak in. He helps us. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. So there's a way and things that we ought to pray for that we don't pray for. Now, wait a minute. I thought about this week. I know what I want. I know what I want. You know what you want. The problem is you don't know what you need. So if you really knew what God had for you, and you matched up your prayer with what God's will was, you would ask what you would, and it would be done unto you. And the Holy Spirit is the one who can match your prayer with the will of God. Do I have your attention this morning? I pray that God is helping you. The good news is the Holy Spirit who lives in us, he knows us. And I can say this to you, he knows you better than you know yourself. Those of you who have raised kids, you know there were times when they asked for something that you didn't want to give them, not because you didn't want to give them something good that they wanted, because you knew it might hurt them. Did your kids ever ask for something prematurely? At 8 or 9 or 10 years old, did they want a motorcycle? And you said, well, not quite yet, daughter or son. Or did they ask for something that you knew would lead them down a path where it wouldn't be good for them? Is it possible they really don't want to harm themselves? They just don't know what they want. The Holy Spirit says, I will let you know. Not only what is really good for you, but when you understand that God wants to give it to you, you'll change your want to what God wants, and then you'll get what you pray for. That's the opportunity we have through the Holy Spirit, our intercessor. The Bible says, he that searcheth the heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because he, the Holy Spirit, makes intercession for the saints, which are us, according to the will of God. So God knows what your heart needs. The Holy Spirit takes that need through your groanings and takes it to God. And God says, yeah, they want a closer walk with me? I want that more than they do. Well, it really wasn't that prayer. Kind of really wanted something else, but really I know them enough to know that if they got what you had for them, it would be exactly your will. And God said, I will honor that. How beautiful is that? So hold on to your britches, folks. The Holy Spirit wants to rock your world. He wants to take you on a ride that will more than thrill you. He wants to help you experience the roller coaster of Spirit fullness. So let's get on board and buckle up. Number one, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us in prayer. It's so obvious. That's what it says, point blank. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should what? Pray for. The Holy Spirit is there to help your prayer. He's there to teach you how to pray. He's there to help your prayer be what it ought to be. He's there to teach you on how to pray a prayer that the Father receives in such a way that you get what you want. The truth of the matter is, we don't do what we ought to do, not because we don't at times wish to do it right. We just don't know how necessarily to do it. Now, I will say this, and you know this is true. There's no wrong way for a child to ask for what they want. They could groan, they could gripe, they could ask, they should write it down on a piece of paper, they could call you on the phone. There's all kinds of different ways to do it. Bottom line, though, if you want to give them the best thing for them, then their prayer needs to match your desire. There are times when we ask God for something and God says, do I really want to give them that? Because I know, God knows everything, if I give them that, it's going to turn out this way. Well, God, I guess I didn't think about that. That's right. God knows. So if I ask for bread, will he give me a stone, the Bible says? If I ask for meat, will he give me a serpent, something that will bite me? Of course not. So we need a little help in our prayer life, and I'm here to tell you, God did not leave you comfortless. You have an interpreter. You have an intercessor that lives inside of you, and he's available 24/7, and every second of the day, you can connect with the Holy Spirit and pray a prayer that the Holy Spirit will interpret and take to the very throne of God. Aren't we blessed people? Don't we have a lot in our salvation? Aren't we rich in the graces of God? Does he not love you that he would give you the Holy Spirit, your intercessor? Paul states, for we know not what we should pray for. We need help. And boy, isn't it great when a Christian comes to the conclusion, you know what, I've been trying to do this and I'm not doing so good. I need some help. We all need to come to that conclusion. I need help. Well, I thought living the Christian life was easy. All I had to do was love people. How easy is that? All I had to do was be patient with people and love people like Jesus does. That's one of the hardest things in the world. You need help. We need help. We need prayer at all aspects of our Christian life. We need help with prayer. God is a spirit, and he is telling us that we need help communicating in the spirit world. We struggle because we're weak. We're needful. We're inept. We don't know how to pray as we ought, and therefore, we need somebody to help us. Somebody wrote this beautiful, beautiful poem. They said, I asked for strength that I might achieve. He made me weak that I might obey. I asked for health that I might do great things. He gave me grace that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. He gave me poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. He gave me weakness that I might feel a need for God. I asked for all the things that I might enjoy life. He gave me life that I might enjoy all things. I received nothing I had asked for. He gave me all that I had hoped for. Would you allow God to do that? Does he know more of what you really need than you do for yourselves? Listen, we're children of God. Are we really so big in our britches that we know how to do everything ourselves? We better stay the children of God. Because the Bible says, suffer the little children to come into him and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. The mindset that I need my Father. Abba, Daddy, Father. I don't know how to say this all right, but you know what I mean. And in my heart, I'm just groaning out to you. And the Holy Spirit says, Father, what he's really saying is he needs this. And as we pray, and as we have the Holy Spirit, who is our intercessor, we connect with God in a beautiful way. Hey, you know what this is like. Have you ever been so burdened that you couldn't even speak? I bet you have. I bet you there have been times in your past, sometime when you got some bad news and you went to speak and you couldn't even, nothing came out. And all of a sudden you had to just go somewhere and just cry. Tears are a language that God understands. You ever been so shocked and awed by something that you didn't have the words to explain what you have just seen and what you had just experienced? I can't even explain what just happened to me. God said, you don't have to explain. The Holy Spirit already told me. He already told me. You need me. I'm here for you. When you have this close walk with the Lord, when you embrace the Holy Spirit that's in there to walk with you, how can you walk in the Spirit and not have the Holy Spirit who wants to walk with you? Well, I got to find him. And then once I find him, I can walk. No, you don't have to find him. You don't have to go down to the Great Life Church. You don't have to go down to the dome. You can get on your knees and pray before God right there. You need to go someplace that brags about coming where you can get baptized in the Spirit all over again. Boy, I tell you what, folks, wake up, read your Bibles, and find out that God is the one that supplies your need. Men won't help you with what you need. So how does the Holy Spirit intercede for us? He intercedes for us by his inspiration. When God breathed into man the breath of life, that holy presence of God inside a man made man come alive. Hey, you need a spiritual Red Bull. Anybody need a cup of coffee right now? The Holy Spirit will inspire you to do the things you ought to, especially in prayer. He'll inspire you for prayer. I used to have some roommates that made fun of me in this way, and they had all the right to make fun of me this way. I worked like crazy, especially the first few years I was in college. The first year I actually worked night shift, then I worked second shift and didn't get home until 12:30. By the time we got cleaned up, 1 o'clock, all my 5 roommates were in bed, and there I was trying to pray before I went to bed, and I got on my knees, started my prayer, and before you know it, one of my roommates had gotten up and was shaking me. Hey, Caskey, I think you probably ought to get in bed. What do you mean? I'd fallen asleep in prayer. I'm not going to ask you how many have done that, because I hope that you've all done that. I really hope that your desire to want to keep a routine and want to not fall out of prayer with God, that you've done it so often that even sometimes you've done it out of obligation. Now, we shouldn't communicate to people just out of obligation. God bless you, and you really don't mean it. I mean, that's not what we should do. But isn't it better to tell somebody God bless you and then just never say anything at all? I think it's a wonderful thing that Christians pray, whether they pray in the Spirit, whether they pray with the understanding of Christ's or Holy Spirit being our intercessor or not. But the truth of the matter is, the older I get, the more I want to make what I do count. Do you? I want to make it count. Sometimes it's not doing more of something. It's doing more of it the way it should be done, and maybe even spending less time, but doing it. He inspires us. That's what happens. The Holy Spirit builds us up. The Apostle Paul said in Jude, verse 20, he says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, and then verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. Now, how in the world can I keep myself in the love of God? Through prayer. Hey, how do you keep your relationship with anybody? You got to talk to them. You have to communicate. Can you keep a good, close relationship and never talk to anybody? Let's try that again. Church, can you keep in a good relationship with people without talking to them? No, you can't. Do we really think we can have a close relationship with God and never talk to him? It's through prayer and through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that God does what he does. He will inspire you to pray. And by the way, oftentimes the trials that you go through in life are to help us to be inspired. We don't like it. If you were told, and may this not happen this week, if you were told by the doctor, you have cancer and you have 6 months to live, most of us would become aggressive prayers. Most of us would become better prayers. Most of us would really work on our relationship to God. The Holy Spirit wants to inspire you to pray and to communicate with God before God has to do that. He wants to inspire you. Prayer builds you up. Prayer keeps your love for God hot. The Holy Spirit will inspire you to pray and keep your prayers before the Father. What a wonderful thing that is. This is why Christians who suffer the most are often the best prayer warriors. Oftentimes, those dear saints of God who have just had one after the other, and they truly suffer are some of the best prayer warriors, and we've had some of those in our church. Why? Because they groan and their spirit intercedes before the Father. They know how to pray. Suffering has taught them much. So the Spirit excites the emotion and causes us to groan, and in so doing, the Lord knows our heart. We are such babes in Christ, so immature most of the time, we speak very little of a heavenly language. A mother who loves and knows her child can translate the baby talk. She is the one closest to him, and I pray that the Holy Spirit is the closest to you. The groan comes not from the lips, but from the heart. When you groan out of something, it comes from deep within. The Holy Spirit's work is never superficial, but deeply sincere. Did you get that? Never outwardly showy. That's not the Holy Spirit. And by the way, that's the difference, because that's what I experienced when I was 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Outward showiness of people falling out on the floor, running around, speaking in an ecstatic language, no interpreter. I mean, they broke every rule in 1 Corinthians 14, and it was an outward thing, but I never saw the true inward thing, but boy, did I want it. The Holy Spirit works from the inside out. He is our intercessor. David said, Lord, here's what David said, Lord, let my desire is before you, and my groanings cannot be hid. The Holy Spirit within us creates all real prayer. The Holy Spirit writes for us a prayer upon our heart, and though we know not how to pray, we groan to utter what is written. Then he, the Holy Spirit, interprets for us and intercedes for us, and our interpreter and advocate to the throne of grace receives our prayer. The Father knows what is the mind of the Spirit. You and I don't know. We don't know all of the will of God for you. As a young preacher, I said, Lord, what would you have me to do with my life? And God said, I want you to surrender your life to serve me. I said, yes, sir, God, I want to do that. But what does that mean? Well, it means going off to Bible college. Okay, I can do that. So there I am at Bible college, and I'm still praying. Lord, what is your will for my life? And God says, I want you to consecrate yourself. Serve me. Love me. Tell people about the gospel. Witness for me. Okay, I'm doing that. 3 years in. God, what would you have me to do the rest of my life? What you're doing right now. Oh, okay. I'll keep telling people about Jesus. I'll keep preaching at the nursing home, preaching on a bus, bringing people to church, coming to Sunday school. What would you have me to do next? I like what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing. Yeah, but God, I want to know what the will of God is for my life. I was doing the will of God. And then one day, after we'd gone on a visit, we stopped at a church, little church, and one of the deacons came up and gave a testimony because they didn't have a pastor. And I scratched my head and I thought, well, why doesn't this church have a pastor? Their pastor had left. They found nobody else to pastor. That started working on my heart, working on my heart. And then we went away another time and went to another church that the pastor had just left. Oh my goodness, there are churches all over the place. They don't have a pastor. Lord, you talking to me? I started praying and I started fasting. I started putting a day of the week aside and saying, Lord, I won't eat any solid food for the day because I want to know what your will is. Lord, show me the will. And I started praying, Lord, show me your will. Let me know what your will is specifically. And it wasn't long while I was preaching that the Holy Spirit says, you are doing the will of God, but God doesn't want you to do it here. And I went down to the altar that Sunday night. You have to understand, I'm a senior in Bible college, and normally you know by that time what you're going to do after you get out. But I was a first semester senior in Bible college, and I was an education major. So I went to the assistant president, and I said, listen, I think I got a problem here. I'm feeling God's call to be a pastor, but yet I've taken education classes. I really thought I was going to be working in a Christian school or something like that. What should I do? Well, if you believe God's called you to pastor, you need to get trained to be a pastor. I said, yeah, but I'm already a senior. He said, well, looks like you're going to have to take some more classes. So I was there a lot longer than I thought, because it took me a lot longer to figure out what it was the will of God for me to do. In the meantime, I was doing the will of God. Won't you do that? Won't you try that? While you don't know for sure exactly in one area what the will of God is, won't you just do the things that you do know is right? Because then God will show you what's right in his time. He's our intercessor. I love what David said about the bow. He said, in you I am drawn like an arrow in the bow. I cannot draw a bow of prayer for myself. I'm too weak. When my son was about 7 or 8, I wanted him to love hunting like I loved hunting. That's funny. 7, 8 years old, how can he? So I bought him a little kid's bow, or a little compound bow. And I told him where to put his hand, where it's supposed to go, took it, and he started, and he couldn't pull it back. So I got a little closer to him and took his hand and helped him draw it back. And then helped him to know where to aim, and then worked with him on. Did you know that's what the Holy Spirit does to you in your Christian life? Because you're weak, and you know not how to pray as you ought. While you're praying, he inspires you and puts his hand where it needs to be and gives you the strength that you need to do. And then even while you're trying to aim it, he helps the arrow to go straight. Did you know that's what the Holy Spirit does? Prayer pulls the rope down from below, and the great bell rings above in the ears of God, Charles Spurgeon says. Some scarcely stir the bell, for they pray so languidly. Others give only an occasional jerk at the rope. But he who communicates with heaven is the man who grasps the rope boldly and pulls continuously with all his might. And may I add, and the Holy Spirit makes the arrow fly straight. That's who the Holy Spirit is. You can't do it by yourself. He gives you the strength. Now watch this. Look at Romans 8. If you're still there. Look at verse 28. And you know this verse. Okay? And we know that what? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according. What you might not have known is the way to get to Romans 28, you have to go through Romans 26 and 27. See, oftentimes we just pick something up out of there and we hang on to it. It's not bad to do that. But if you don't know where to aim, if you don't know, have the strength to pull, you're not going to get it anywhere. So the Holy Spirit does what he said. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities when I'm weak. For we know not how to pray as we ought. So the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. Okay, Pastor, I understand that. Verse 27. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now watch this. For we know that all things work together for good. Stop right there. The car accident, did that seem good? The cancer, how good did that seem? The struggling not to be able to pay the bills, how good did that feel? Somebody left you. Somebody broke a relationship off with you. How good was that feel? How good was that? None of it seemed good, did it? Uh-uh. To him that is called according to God's purpose. There may be somebody in here who was in a relationship as a young person, and that person walked away from you, and God opened the door so that the love of your life could come in. Did all things work together for good? Anybody have a testimony like that? Anybody have one of those testimonies? Okay, there's one. There's two. Okay. Now, wait a minute. How can a disease work together for good to them who are called according to his purpose? What if while you were going through the disease, you considered your life and God showed you many things that you could or should be doing? And then when you prayed for healing, he healed you, and then you ended up doing it. You might not have ever done it. Well, here's what I'm here to tell you. The Holy Spirit, who knows the mind of God, and God, who knows the mind of the Spirit, is already working all things out for his glory right now. That changes everything, because it changes our prayer. When you don't like that boss and you're praying for God to give you another job, maybe God wants you to stay at that job because he wants you to reach your boss. I don't know all those things. I don't know all of the will of God, but I do know the Holy Spirit's working inside of all of us right now so that the will of God can be performed in you. How do you know that, Pastor? Because I have verse 29 and 30. Are you ready to stretch it a little bit farther? You ready to look 29 and 30? For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. So God knew that he wanted to work things out for his glory. So God worked it in his plan. He predetermined for you to have cancer, for you to go through this struggle, for you to fall on your face and say, God, I can't do it by myself, because he's trying to conform you into the image of his dear son. That's what he said. So that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. And then verse 30, moreover, he said there's more to it. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, he also called. Called according to his purpose. See that? He also called. And whom he called, he also justified. But we can't find justification for why we went through that problem. Well, hold on. What if God does? What if through the Holy Spirit he reveals to you there's a deeper reason, a deeper purpose? Does God have a right to justify all things? He is God the just. And whom he justified, those he also glorified. Well, I don't know about you, but I could use a little more success in my life. I want to be a successful pastor. I want to be a successful husband. I want to be a successful father. Anybody want to be better at being a father, being a better wife? Okay. If your wife and you raise your hand and want to be a better father, we got to talk. It's an identity thing. You just got to talk about it. I'm just kidding. You know. Do you want God glorified in your life? You need the Holy Spirit. You need him. How does the Holy Spirit intercede for us? The Holy Spirit reminds us, chapter 14, verse 26 of John, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, what I have told you, Jesus said. Now, we've learned about Jesus since we've been in Sunday school. How many have been in Sunday school since you were a kid? You remember everything you learned? Does the Holy Spirit remember everything you learned? Could he, at the right time, bring back that beautiful memory of what Jesus said when you need it? That's the intercessor. That's what he wants to do, bring all things into remembrance. Okay, you know what it's like? Today it's very popular for all the politicians to use a teleprompter. We know that our president gets in trouble when he doesn't. We know that all their presidents get in trouble when they don't have a teleprompter. Isn't that wonderful that the Holy Spirit never forgets anything? He's your teleprompter. That's who the Holy Spirit is. Listen, if you lean on him, you won't put your feet in your mouth so many times. Amen, preacher. Amen. He's our teleprompter. Not only that, by counseling us. We're going to talk about this later, so I won't go in this. He is our paraclete, our advocate. Hey, listen. He counsels us every time you feel something inside that tells you, don't do that. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't say that. Don't you go there. Don't you do that. What is he doing? The Holy Spirit is convicting you. He's making you feel bad about it, trying to stir you, steer you this way, steer you that way, according to the will of God. It's not a Jiminy Cricket, your conscience is your guide thing. It's the Holy Spirit. Some of you didn't get that. This will take you back a long way. Oh, and then by teaching us. He shall teach you all things. Now, this is going to sting just a little bit. Not all prayers are sincere prayers. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Wait a minute. I thought he already kept my soul. Oh, but we were taught that, right? If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. God bless Mommy and Daddy and Uncle Jim. And please don't let the cat eat my homework before I go to bed. Now, maybe that part, maybe the end part was the real sincere part. But the other one might not have been sincere. You know, Jesus got after the Pharisees for praying long prayers that they had written out. They were just following rote. Dear Lord, bless this food for my body. Amen. Are there some prayers that we pray that aren't so sincere? The Holy Spirit wants to help change that for you. And God says when it's time to pray that sincere prayer, you don't worry about making it a public thing. See, public prayer is a dangerous thing. Not all our prayers are sincere prayers, so he wants to teach us. In Psalm 66, verse 18 through 20, the psalmist tells us about an unrepented heart that cannot communicate with God, even though it cries out to God. The Bible says God will not hear. If you regard iniquity in your heart, God turns the other way. So the Holy Spirit's trying to repair that. He's our intercessor. A memorized mealtime prayer is not respected unless it comes from within, from a groaning heart of thankfulness. Our time is gone. Let me just give you this last point, not to preach on it. The Holy Spirit intercedes to help match God's will with our will. It's all about the will of God. We are called according to his purpose. If you asked for bread, he wouldn't give you a stone. I know we've said that. We say this, Father knows best. God knows best. And then we don't trust him with what's best, do we? God knows best. So the Father gave us the Holy Spirit to intercede on our behalf. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 tells us to devote ourselves in prayer. And he said, if we pray now, we will pray then. If we pray daily, we'll start to hear from God daily. If we pray sporadically, we'll hear from God sporadically. If we don't pray at all, we have not because we ask not. Pray without ceasing. Anybody like iced tea? Huh? Anybody like half and half? Anybody like Arnold Palmer? Okay, some lemonade with the tea? All right. For those of you who do not like sugar in your tea, I'm not talking to you. It's got to be sweet a little bit, okay? So you got the tea, you got a glass, you put the sugar in, you stir it up. No matter how much you stir up, where does the sugar go? You know what Paul says that we need to do, and this is good for the church today. He says you need to stir up the gift that is in you. That's the Holy Spirit. And oftentimes we do all so many things. We try to love Jesus and love other people like Jesus, and we talk to Jesus, and we end every prayer in Jesus' name like we should. Yes, we should do that. And we love our Heavenly Father, and we give him glory, and we read his word, and we're enamored by all the goodness of our Heavenly Father. He's a good, good Father, a good, good Father. Holy Spirit is down there on the bottom, and you drink the glass of life, and there it is still. He's our intercessor. I can only imagine what would have happened if any of us got off the bus in a place that we should not have gotten off the bus when we were in Israel and left our interpreter on the bus looking for us and having grieved him. I remember one couple, and you always got this, out of all the people on the bus, this couple was never ready when everybody else was ready. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, they just had to sleep in that extra 10 minutes, right? So we were always waiting on them, waiting on them. And finally, the second or third day, I forget which day it was, the guide said, folks, we don't have any more time, we must go. So we went. Can I tell you where we went that day? We went to Bethlehem. We went to the place where Christ was born. And that couple missed out. God's trying to stir up the gift that is in each of us, which is the Holy Spirit of God, so that you can get all out of your Christian experience what you can. I know you have Jesus, I know you have the Father, but do you know that you have the intercessor of the Holy Spirit? You do. So pray, my dear friend, and don't stop praying till light breaks through. Your Heavenly Father, He'll answer you. Would you bow your heads, please?